Right, so, but 13 lines up, Mem Dalam Beis Omlei Rava, the Shamei, Rava says to his servant, Kimaisisli Umsa de Bisra, when you bring me a piece of meat, Tarchvi Aisil Mehecha de Mekarv Lebe Baruch, go bring it to me in a place close to the source of the bracha. Okay, obviously the bracha is when you do shechita. The shechita is when you cut the throat. So give it to me close to the throat. Look at Rashi, lebe baruch, lemokom shebaruchu sham ala shechita. The place you make the bracha on the shechita, and that of course is by the kon and the veshet, which is by the throat. Okay. Kruvel mazon v'tardin lefruah. So we had mentioned earlier that the cabbage is great for sustenance and the beets are great for healing. So kruvel mazon in lefruah loy. What, cabbage is only good for refuah, for mazon, doesn't help with healing? It's not on the recommended healing list of foods. Vatanya, what about this bright that says shisha dvarim merapin asachel? Six things make a person better. Micholyoy, okay, from his sickness, refus and fua, and their fua last. It's not just old wise tale, but it really helps. Velohain, and these are those foods. Kruv, vitardin, cabbage and beets right off the bat. You see, kruv is number one on the list of foods that actually make you feel better. Umeisisin yavesh, I think he changes it. Okay, it's the water of dry penny something, weird kind of, I don't know what they are, but some kind of, a plant or something. So if you take a dry one and you soak it into water, that is good for you. The keva and the more part of the stomach, veres, and the womb, the yaseres hakaved, which they call the diaphragm. I guess it's a place right up, above the liver or around the liver, an extra part protruding from the liver. So yaseres hakaved, okay, which is definitely a word, a phrase we have in the Torah as well. But bottom line is, these six things are good for your health. Do you see that penny thing? The name of that? If you see the name, let us know, because maybe somebody actually knows what that is. So he says, so the point is, how could you say that cabbage is bad for you when you see here cabbage is actually your food? I mean, not that it's bad for you, that it doesn't heal. Here you see that it does heal. El ema, but rather say kruv aflamozain. That when it says kruv sustains, doesn't mean it only sustains, but aflamozain, it also sustains. Meaning, of course, it's added to the list of those that are healthy for you and they cure you, but they have the quality of also filling you up. So it's both. So everything works out and everything is good. Okay, then the last phrase we said was, Oilei l'bayi shalefes ayveres b'toichai. Woe to the house that has turnips going through it. So turnips sounds like it's real bad for you. I ain't, what's the deal? V'amalei rova l'shame, but rova said to Hashamas, ki chazes lifsa b'shuka, when you see turnips in the shuk, like tamely, don't ask me b'my karach derifta. How are you gonna? What kind of sandwich you gonna make today? Are you choosing the American cheese or the tuna? You don't have to ask me, because if you have turnips in town, that's gonna be the sandwich. Okay, that's what I'm gonna have my bread with. See, why would Rava be picking a food that would be bad for him? Clearly, turnips are good. So what's the deal? So there's a steer between Rava and the Braisa. I'm Rabbayim and Blibasser. Okay, that's only when you don't cook it with meat. When you cook it with meat, then it makes it much better. So plain turnips alone, okay, is what's the problem. Rava Ami Bliayin. Rava adds that, or else another approach could be having it with wine. Turnips with a little wine afterwards will change the whole nature of the turnip. If you have it by itself, turnips straight, that's your problem. Itmar, and we learn along the same lines someplace else. Rav Amri Bli Basa, Rav says that's only when you have it without meat. Shmuel Amri Bli Eitzim, Shmuel says it's without wood, meaning you didn't cook it a lot. If you cook it a lot, the turnips lose their strength. Rav Yechon Amri Bli Ayin,
penny royal, whatever a penny royal.
Oh, so you also don't know what it is? Anybody know what a pennyroyal is?
It's a type of mint. It's a type of, it's a plant that when it's crushed, it smells like mint.
Oh. You just knew that, or you checked Wikipedia before you came?
That.
Wow. Okay. Impressive. Okay.
Pennyroyal soup out of it.
Okay.
No, I just checked Wikipedia.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's okay. Impressive.
Is it? Anyway, so yeah, Mibliyayin. So Rabbi Yochanan also says that it's to wine. So you have either, now we have three opinions, Rav, Rav Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says you need the meat breaks it up, Shmuel says the cooking breaks it up, and Rabbi Yochanan says the wine breaks up the damage and negates the issue of turnips being bad for you. Amalei, Ravler of Papa, Sudni. Okay, beer maker. Papa apparently was a beer maker. Okay, and he would make beer. We break up the turnip impact with either busser or wine. But you don't have it, chamra. You don't have a lot of wine. I guess you don't have a lot of meat either. But my tavrisula, how do you break up the damage of the turnips? Because I guess otherwise turnips are good for you. Like Rava said, I want a turnip sandwich today. A Malay b'tzivi. The answer is with wood. Cooking it a lot does the job. Kihad the visitor of Papa Basa Vashila Tavra La Bitmanin Ife Prasaya. Like the wife of Papa, after she would cook the turnip, she would break up the impact and lower remove the negative impact by 80 logs of wood. 80 logs of wood. So that's again a nice amount of cooking. Does the job and is able to diminish the impact of the turnips, leaving the turnips actually a food that seems that it's good for you. Okay, and that's why I guess maybe we put in the chicken soup because it cooks a lot and that doesn't have a problem. Okay, let's finish up with the Rashi's already on the page. Maysin, Tafshel Shell Poly Oil. Okay, which is, I guess, pennyroyal. Okay, to cook a cooked item of that nature, of that plant. Vahora validra, shavlad noitzaboy. This is the womb that the vlad is in. Is that a placenta or is that the same thing? I don't know. Whatever. Okay, no physiology majors here. Yoseris ha-kaved tarfashta. Okay, the kaveda shikirin ivrish. Okay, like we said, it's some extra layer of the liver, which we call the diaphragm. At least that's how they translate it. Bibli basar, he kashed. When it's without meat, then the turnips are bad. Avol mikashum vasha and basar, shamein matish kocha. When you put it into a nice cholent with some fat, a good gesunte flanken meat, the fat of the meat takes the turnips, the negative out of the turnips, and you're left with a award-winning cholent. Okay, okay. Let's see here. Mibli eitzim. What? What? Mibli matyayin. Right? Yeah. Mibli yayin. She'ain shosach rayayin. That's only if you don't drink wine after it. The little bar tenura helps the turnips go down well. Mibli eitzim. Without wood, she'eno sholko harbe. That's when you don't cook it a lot. But here, when you have a lot of wood to cook it a lot, then the turnips are all fine. Sudni, bal sheicha tamarim. You are the maker of date beer. That was Rav Papa Meicher Sheicher. He was a seller of beer. Kedomar bezeu neshech. Like we say in Bar Mitzia, Tarsha Rav Papa Shachroi loy posid. Okay, I'm not sure exactly. Okay, I mean, we call them, I think it's a type of a deal with the ribbis and that he wouldn't lose. Rav Papa did so, but you call him Rav Papa Shachroi. That's why we are quoting this here. That's what Rashi is quoting. The Omer of Papa Ilav Ramoy Shichra Loi Iyarti. Okay, if I had not made Sheikhar, I would not have become rich. For Nikra Sudni, and that's called Sudni Kdaminan Tamrei. Okay, so again, another reference to beer goes to the basin of the house of Sudni. So beer, Sudni is a beer maker. He runs there. So again, I'm not sure of the full reference, but it's all about proving that the word Sudni is connected to beer, and that Rav Papa was a beer maker. Okay, Doi Nafish Lutamra, that's Luchamra, you don't have a lot of beer. You clearly, I guess if you're going to be a winemaker, you wouldn't be a beer maker. You are a beer maker because you don't have a lot of grapes accessible to you. But my Tavrisu, how do you break down the effect of the turnips? But my Tavrusala, the Koicha Shalefas, the power of the turnips, how do you diminish it? So she, like Rav Papa's wife, Eifei Persaya, the Koshal Eitzim Gedolos, these are logs of big pieces of wood. She would put that under the pot of the turnips and cook it a lot, and that would take away the negative effects. And okay, so that's okay. One more Rashi, actually. Let's go vital. Tanabonon. Five lines from the bottom. Tanabonon. Dog, cotton, maliach, small, salty fish. Pum shu memis b'shiva. There are times that it could be a killer. Okay, pum shu memis. Look at the last Rashi on the page. Veilohein. These are the times that the small fish, when eaten, could be literally murderous. Okay, veilohein. Let's just do the Rashi because we're just going to go through different days of the month. Veilohein b'yom shiva yomim l'milchaso, 7 days to its salting. Or b'yom shiva aso, or b'yom shiva v'eshrim. Either the 7th, the 17th, or the 27th day of its salting. Okay, so that's why the original date of, you know, expiration is important. This is where you had it. So actually days in relation to the time that it was made could be important. I don't ask me why 7, 17, 27, but those were days that it was bad for you. In fact, it was very bad for you. However, the good news is, so does that mean we shouldn't eat sardines? Not so fast. That's only true when it's cooked.
Salted.
What?
These are salty fish. This is.
Oh, sardines are not salted?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I mean, herring, though.
Herring, yes.
Okay, fine. Okay. V'loy omrin ela b'matvi. V'loy matvi, this is only true when it's roasted and not roasted, where the fish is sort of in between. Avo matvi shaper less lanba. But if it's well roasted, it's nice gesunter roast or grilled salmon, we're talking business. That's fine. No problem there. Udlo matvi shaper. And even when if it's not roasted well, loy omrin ela d'loy shosa basri shichra. If you didn't have a glass of Budweiser afterwards. Av shasa basrei shichra, but if you have a little bit of beer, and they would make their beer from dates generally, less lamba, it's no big deal. Okay, so even in its dangerous state, there are easy ways of getting around it. I guess that's what they did, because I don't know how do you know which date of the salting it is. What, do you have a special marker? I mean, it's. I guess the owner could know.
You salted the fish, and then you roasted the fish to get rid of the fish.
Apparently they did both. Yeah, they roasted a little bit. Even they roasted a lot. They still apparently salted it after the roasting. That's what it seems like.
Sounds like peanuts.
Well, no, salting was to preserve it, and they didn't have refrigeration, so they used to salt fish to preserve it. And that's how you preserve, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Okay. Okay, let's see here. That basically, so that was that we finished the food channel now. Now back to the Red Gemara. Last line on the page. Right? So now back to the brachas. If you drink water to quench your thirst, you make a shahakol and then a burn of fashos. Lafuke mai. What is that coming to exclude? Again, the language of the Mishnah. Oh, okay, no. The last person says that if you drink wine, if you drink water for your thirst. So what's it coming to exclude? What's not for your thirst? Why would you drink water that's not for your thirst? So, lafuke mai, what's it coming to exclude that you don't make a brach in that situation, a shakol niyavari? Or if idibaravin, lafuke leman, the chan kase umsa. The guy's got a piece of meat stuck in his throat and he needs some water. I guess the guy doesn't know the Heimlich maneuver and he wants to get rid of the piece of meat, so he drinks some water to wash it down. That you would not make a bracha in that situation because there's no benefit. You're not drinking because you're thirsty. You're drinking because you got to get the meat down. So that's an interesting halach. What about pills? Make a bracha if you Just take a...
the Mishnah Berurah says that you don't have to make a bracha when you...
Okay, I'm just saying, so it would probably be simple.
You don't have to when you're doing pills?
No.
If you're
just
in the bathroom, too. That's
what?
When you're in the bathroom, you got to drink water to take pills.
Well, you don't have to take a pill in the bathroom. You could take a pill in the bathroom. You don't have to. You can easily walk out.
You don't have to take a bottle with you.
Okay, yeah.
Taking water with medication.
The pill has to be wheat flavored.
Wheat flavored.
Okay.
But you drink a little beer afterwards.
You know, that might be a whole new industry. Flavored.
Right, again, you have to be careful. In other words, I don't know. You're right. If you're just taking it for that reason, it was the peer. You wouldn't have to. If you're a little bit thirsty, maybe you would want to drink water first.
I'm being practical. Like, there are a lot of people, in fact, who take pills when they're in the shower. I mean, that's just like it's a habit. You do everything like a routine. And you can't drink water in the shower?
But you can't make a bracha in the shower. You should really drink. Yeah, I mean, you drink in the shower?
Well, you're just taking a little sip of water. No, and that's just...
If you're not making a bracha, drinking without a yarmulke, I don't know. Most people don't eat without a
yarmulke.
Most people don't eat without yarmulke, because it could be you want to tie in it to lam de shazach. You're not really, just like you don't need a bracha, you're not really drinking. You're just drinking to take the water down, so, you know...
Take the pill down,
so, I don't know. First I'm hearing of it. Also, it's dangerous. What happens if the water hits the pill and it dissolves in your hand?
Oh, no, you put the pills in your mouth.
On the bottom of the shower.
You just take a swig of water and it's done.
I think that's a Stockton thing. I don't think that's... okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Generations you've been doing.
It could be. I'm sure it's a Stockton minute. I get it, but... Okay.
I guess I'll have to change what I do.
Yeah, we have to check the Rav Harashi of Stockton, see what he says about that. Okay, now...
But he's not in Stockton.
Okay, so Rav Tarfon Omer, the top of the page, Rav Tarfon Omer, Baruch Nefasho Boshev Chesaron, he said you make a Baruch Nefasho, right, as your pre-bracha. Omli Rav Bar Chanan Labaye, Omli Rav Yosef, other people say it was Rav Yosef who said the same in Hilchos Amai. So what is the bottom line, right? We need to know what to do when we eat all these foods. What do you make? So Amalei, he says, he answered back, Poik Chazi Mai, my Amma Dabar, go and see what's out with the what's going on with the nation outside. We'll just go see what people do, right? This was it's the kind of question that a lot of times we have when different machlokesim in history. How come you just don't look around and see what people do? Do people ever been a Thomas Fillin, a Rashi's Fillin? Where's the room for the machlokes? But I guess sometimes you can do it, sometimes you can't. Okay, so let's see here. Let's do the Rashi. My ima debar heich noigim. Just go out and see what they do. V'karnogu, and the answer is, if you don't know what they do, let me tell you. Rashi says, v'karnogu levarch betchila shakol lubsoiv berne fashos rabois v'chesronon al kol mashe boro. Okay, so he clearly holds boro, not barosa. Rashi, and that the minig is that the first bracha, the pre-bracha you make is a shahakol, the after bracha is bar nefashos, and that's the story. Now just going back to the shahar for a minute, take a look at the top tesvis, the chonkei unta, you see you have the meat that you want to wash down, v'dafka mayim shen lo yeno, kim lishto yis mayim letzoma, it's dafka water, don't let someone make the mistake if somebody likes showering with orange juice, okay, and you want to use the orange juice, or some real drink to knock it down, he says, and the hanod that you get by knocking the meat down into your stomach ain't the nechshav hanod. That's not called hanod. But other drinks that there's intrinsically a benefit to the body from the drink. Then if you take orange juice to knock down the pill, then you gotta definitely make a bracha. You can't use that as a logic. Okay, interesting. Machloek is, do you need an after bracha or not? That must be fascinating what the lumdus of that is. If you don't have to make a pre bracha, why would there be a lumdus to make an after bracha? Okay, nice. Sounds like a nice sugya. Okay, maybe we'll save it for the holiday learning. Okay. Let's go weiter. Hadrol case of Mavarchin, Hadrol case of Mavarchin, Hadrol case of Mavarchin. Gewaldig. Okay. Sixth perik. Seventh perik. Moving right along. Shleishish Achlu, Ka'achas. Three people who ate together. Chayov and Lazame. They have an obligation. If you sat down together, you have to make benching with a zimun. Okay, what does that mean? Lazami, Lazdami, look at Rashi. Lazdami Yachad, okay, to join them together, Litzrev Brocha, Beloshin Rabim can go Nevarech. Okay, Lazdami Yachad, Litzrev Brocha, okay, to invite them together to merge for the Brocha, Beloshin Rabim, in a pluralistic language, can go Nevarech. Let us make a Brocha. So the all of their Zimun is you're joining together to say the bracha together. So you're making like an invitation, which is really the Havla Nevarech, or Rabbi Samuel Benshin, Rabbi Tayin Nevarech. That really is just it's a call to arms, so to speak. It's a call to come, let's bench. So once you do that, something happens, some special, you know, chalos, where now the rules change, and instead of each person benching by themselves, one person benches, at least in those days, one person benches for all three. That's the way they did it in those days. When you had Zimun, you had one person making the bracha for all of them. Okay, now, let's see here. What are the rules and conditions for the Zimun? If a person ate Demai. Now, Demai is rabbinic. It's rabbinic tevel, meaning that the rabbis, it's grain from or food from an Am Haaretz, where you're not sure if the Am Haaretz took Maaser or not. So Rav did, but Mia didn't, and the rabbis came along and said, we're going to be machmir, that if you eat from them, you got to take Maaser again. If you buy food from an Am Haaretz, you got to take Maaser again. So Avul Demai. Okay, but if somebody eats demai, or I'm sorry, ochal demai, or maiserisho shnot lechemos, or if a person, one of the people in the group ate maiserisho, which was normally given to the levi, of course, and that levi has to take chuma from the maiser, which is called chuma to maiser, and he took that chuma, that's what it sounds like, what's going on here, okay, or it sounds like very innocent. If the levi took the maiser, took the chuma from the maiser, then all that is good. Okay, Maaser Sheni v'Hekdesh Shniftu, or Maaser Sheni v'Hekdesh, which were redeemed, which means, again, if they were redeemed, that means the Kedusha gets transferred onto the coin. This food is rendered unholy right now, and he ate it. So what's the problem? We'll have to see what the Chiddush here is, and all this is. But Shamish Ochlu Kazayis, or if one of the waiters, you had a waiter who was serving two guys, and he ate a Kazayis when he was serving the two of them, so is that good enough for him to be able to merge together for Zimun? Vakusi, or a member of the Kusi people, which was a controversial nation that joined the Jewish people. And the question is, were they sincere? Were they real Jews and not real Jews? Did they convert fraudulently or not? Big tumult throughout the Gemara, but this Mishnah clearly says, if he puts them together, with the answer is going to be yes, and it contrasts Kusi to Goy, and clearly this Tana holds the Kusim were legitimate Jews. Zamnim alav. All these cases, you are allowed to join them to the Zimun. However, if it's Ochal Tevel, if you ate the Raisa Dika prohibited food, where you didn't care about the Chumas and Maisa, you just ate it straight up, okay, or Maisrishon Sholot Nachushmaso, or the Levi had Maisrishon, or anybody for that matter, because Maisrishon doesn't have to be eaten, has to be given to the Levi. Once it's given to the Levi, anybody can eat it. And it was, you did not take the Chuma from the Maiser, or Maisrishon Vegas Shloiniftu, or you have Maisrishoni, which of course was brought to Yushlaim. Maisrishon was brought in years 3 and 6 to Yushlaim, or Hegdish, which is any time that it's designated to the sanctuary, and you did not redeem it, so which is definitely prohibited, major prohibition, take that without being redeemed outside Yushlaim or by Hegdish anywhere. Or the waiter who had less than a kezayis, or the goy ain mizam nalov. These people cannot merge into your zimun, and you can't say Rabbi Tana Varech in this situation. Also, you had three other people, of course, who, you know, but if he's one of the three, you're in trouble. Okay, what about Noshim Vavadim Ukatanim? Eim Mizam Naleim. You cannot have any one of these three be the third in your group. Okay, not women, not servants, and not youngsters. Okay, and we'll get to that later. I can see right away the feminists are getting antsy. And at kama mezamnim, how much do you have to eat in order to do the zimun, to be part of the zimun process? We'll see you too. How much do you really need to make a brach altogether, benching? How much do you need for the minimum amount? This is a fundamental issue of how much bread you have to eat to bench. So, at kizayis, the Tanakama holds, a kizayis is going to do it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, at kebeya, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you need up to a beya, which is generally two kizayisim is equal to a beya. Okay, so a lot of stuff going on in this mission. Let's go through the Rashis here. Second Rashi on the Mishnah, Shol Achumasa. Okay, so Maisri Shon, that who you took the Chuma. Kasaki Daitok Chumas Maisri Shaloi Shalalevi Lafish. Right now we're thinking, if you read it straight, it sounds like from Rashi that that's not the way it's going to end up. That this is just a Havamina, but the Havamina is that this is referring to Chumas Maisr, which is on the Levi to separate after the Levi gets his Maisr, he's got to give the Chumas of Meiser to the Koyet. Meiser Sheni Sheniftu, Lahatiroi Bachila. You have to redeem it in order to allow it to be eaten, Chutz Yushlaim, outside Yushlaim. Vespidjona Yalu Yushlaim Vyachal. And the redemption coin that you redeemed it on gets taken up to Yushlaim. And when you get up there, you with the coins, you buy the various foods to enjoy in Yushlaim. That's years. Years 1-2 for the, I said 3 and 6. 3 and 6 is Maiserani. Okay, Maiser Sheni is years 1, 2, 4, and 5. Okay, Vahashamish Shimshon Besuda the Ochali Moem. He was serving them in a Suda, and then he ate with them. Kizayis they let star fi Moem Lamazon in order to merge with them for the Lazimun for the after bracha. You know, for the chance to do a benching with the Zimun, and in all these situations, we need to know this. There's a chiddush here. Avagav the dummy leiser, because even though that it's similar to an iser, it doesn't really smell so good. This situation, enkam bracha b'aveir konfarsh v'azbegor. Tomorrow we'll explain the novelty of all these cases. That why isn't this considered a prohibition eating? And if it is a prohibition eating, then you can't merge. But it's not, and therefore that's why you could merge. In the last group of cases, clearly you can't merge because they were prohibitions. So we'll have to see in the Gemara what that's about. That's probably going to be tomorrow. Okay, at kama mezamnim, kama yoichli moyev yischayv amon bezimun. Okay, how much does that one have to eat to be obligated in the zimun process? V'nafkamina lotziyem yidei chavoson. Okay, the nafkamina will be to ponder them to fulfill their obligation. Imutin lo kos avorach, if they give him the cup to make the bracha, we don't make bracha, we don't use a cup for zimun on three generally. Let's, whatever, I mean, different, there are different minhagim, but different shitas, but we generally don't. But clearly Rashi seems to say you'd use a kos all the time. Once you have zimun, you'd use a cup of wine or grape juice to have the zimun. Okay?
What is the rule about that? When do you use a kos and when you don't?
There are different opinions. There's no hard, fast rule. Shabbos is... I think prevailing 10 on Shabbos, you would, maybe even 10 during the week.
So 10.
Yeah, but there are people who mark it on 3 too. It's definitely nice. I mean, it's definitely not a bad thing. It's a question of, you know, is what's better and then what's generally done or what's minimum. And even 10, I don't think, yeah, you know, it's if it's a house, you don't have to, but it's definitely, I think, preferred. Okay, that's why... Again, going through all these halachas is definitely a recommendation. Okay, so we finished the Rashis, and the answer is either a kezais or a kebeya. Okay, so before we get into the technical...
So is that setting the kezais or the kebeya, is that setting how much bread you should eat and wash? So basically, you need to be yotzei at that point.
We see it to be part of the zimun. Now, we'll have to, I think the Gemara is going to get into it and say, basically, this is machlokas of how much you need to bench. What's the minimum amount Rashi adds to be merged with them and also can you We'll have to see, can you be motzi them, you know, and make the bracha for them? So there are two issues. We'll have to see. I mean, because the truth of the matter is, we saw it from the shamash too. By the waiter had to eat a kazayas to be good enough to merge. Sounds like he didn't, but also you can argue backwards. Well, it sounds like if it wasn't a waiter and you had less, right, dafka waiter maybe needs a kazayas. Sounds like it. So we have to see the Gemara. It's not so clear. It seemed, because...
I'm just thinking in terms of that little piece of bread that they have, like, in restaurants, you know, by where you wash.
That's yeah.
Not a kazayas, it's not a kabeitza, but if you wanted to eat a, you know, you had to eat a kabeitza, you know, at the washing station,
We'll have to see, you know, in terms of making a zimun. If you didn't have bread, this is clearly legabe. That's why Rashi maybe adds to be motzi them, to lead them in zimun, and to be motzi them, because then for sure you have to have bread. But do you need to only have bread to be the third guy in? So I have to see. In other words, you're raising some good questions. Pashas, you don't, right? You have two guys who washed, another guy didn't wash. Pashas, you can. But he ate with them.
Ate
then he can. Yeah. He can merge. Okay. A lot to learn here. Okay, Minan Amili. So how do we know this concept of Zimun? Look at Rashi. Minan Amili, the Shleisha Ruyim Birchas Sirif. I don't know this concept that three are able to be merged together for this special type of pre-bracha where everybody gets invited in and one guy makes the bracha. Everybody, where does this come from? That three is a magical number. So Amar Vasi Dama Kra. Now, when we say these psukim, we'll have a new appreciation. Gadlu Lashem Iti. Okay, proclaim the glory of Hashem with me. And let's exalt His name together. So you see that one guy's talking and talking to two people. Gadlu, okay, you too proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. So you see that one person's talking to two, and that tells you there are three. Look at Rashi. Gadlu Hashem Iti Arei Shleisha. Right, the one talking to two adds up to three. V'chein Ekra V'chein Akra Havugodel. So to the next pasuk we're about to learn of Kishem Hashem Ekra Havugodel Olakenu Hayachid Oyim L'Shnayim. The one is talking to two, which nets you three. Okay, so let's do that. Back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Avo Amar Mehachl. Rabbi Avo says this is the source. Kishem Hashem Ekra, because I will call out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Havu Godolenu, come give greatness to our God. So again, one person's talking, Havu, you guys come join with me so we can proclaim God great. Amar Chanan Bar Abba Minay Lo'ino Amein. So once we're in this, we're just going to do a few other things here. Amar Chanan Bar Abba Minay Lo'ino Amein Shalo Yagbi HaKel Yosef Nam Varech. How do you know that when you're answering Amen, you shouldn't answer Amen louder than the person making the bracha? Shema Gadlu Hashem Iti Unram Shema Yachdov. Okay, proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness with me, and let us exalt His name together. Together sounds like, you know, together. Not one guy dominating the voice and screaming over everybody else. So that's where you should be on the same plane as the person making the bracha. Don't outdo him. Okay. This is a question of respect or exact reason for this. Seems to be, I guess, you know, out of respect for the bracha, it's if you're a main supersedes the bracha, it's a little bit not appropriate. Okay. Amar of Shimon and Pazim, and I ain't shayna matag mishor like be kol yosman al kairi. Okay. The similar idea of Shimon and Pazim says, how do I know that the matargim, who would translate the Torah, okay, and read it out to the masses, he can't be louder than the person who actually read the Torah. In those days, a person would read, and the Metargim would actually say the Onkelos to the masses, because who knew Hebrew in those days? Now, the Targum looks Greek, okay, we know the Torah a little bit, but in those days, it was the other way around. People actually talked Aramaic. And that's what people understood. So how do you know that his voice shouldn't be louder? Shemar, okay, another pasuk, Moshe daber v'lekim neinu b'kol. Moshe spoke, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered with a voice. Well, what does that mean, with a voice? Ein tam loim b'kol. Who needs that word, b'kol? Okay, v'lekim neinu. What's that, b'kol? Umat tam loim b'kol. What's the meaning of that word, b'kol? B'kol shel Moshe. That he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered with the same level of voice as Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, delivering the message that one should not supersede the main person's voice. Tanya Mihachi. I have a brice that supports this concept. Ain't a metagim shoy like bi akol yosim and akayre. The metagim should not bring his voice louder than the one reading the Torah. V'miyef shel metagim like bi akolo k'neged akore. And if the balkore's voice is very loud and the metagim's voice can't do that, he can't bring himself to the level of. So it sounds like you should not only not supersede, but you should taka be on the same level. Let's say you can't do it. I just can't. I'm not that kind of baritone to project my voice like that. What should you do? Yimae hakore kolo v'yikra. So then the one who reads should lower his voice to balance out, to be equal to the one who is reading to the rest of the people. Okay. And so it sounds like it's coming from Sukkim. I'm not sure if there's another layer of why that's inappropriate, but clearly that seems to be the message from the Torah. Let's see Rashi. Any Rashis? No? Okay. Weiter. Itmar. So we learned like this. Shnayim sh'ochlu k'achas. Let's say two guys were eating together. So what's the story of Zimun with two? So pligi rav rav yoichan. Machloik is rav rav yoichanon. Charama imrotul zamim zamnim. Rav says, you know what? You could. You don't have to, but you could. Certain things are optional. And this is one of the optional things. And one says, you can't. Okay, it's not clear who says what. One says yes, one says no. Tanan, let's see if we can prove it, okay, about this issue.
I don't understand. Two people are sitting together by themselves in a room. And so.
And eating.
Yeah, and so what's the issue?
So now can we have a Zimun even though we don't have a third?
Oh, only if, okay, it wasn't like somebody else coming in.
Yeah, no one else was there.
Okay.
So let's see if we can prove it from the Mishnah. Tanan, Shoyshe Shlochel Kachas, three people reading together, Chayvel Zamin. They got to make a Zimun. Shoyshe in Shlaim Loi. Sounds like it's a three-person deal. It's not a two-person deal. Or it says, no, it's not a Raya. Hasam Chayvel Hach Rishus. Because there, it's an obligation. Once you have three people, you can't break up. You have to bench with the Zimun, while two is an issue of optional. See, what do you bring me a raya from the case of three when I'm discussing a case of two? It's not a raya. Let's do the Rashi's. Einon Rishon L'chalek L'vor Kolechod L'yatzmoy. Okay, you're not allowed to divide. Where is Einon Rishon L'chalek? As Viter. Okay, so actually we didn't even do this yet. Okay, so he says, Toshma, next Mishnah, next Raya. So, three people are eating together. They have an obligation to merge. They were shol chalik and they cannot separate and say, you know what, we'll bench by ourselves. We don't have no time for Zimun. No, you can't do that. If you're three together, you have to do a Zimun. You can't divide. Now, same type of diuk. Shloisha in, shnayim lo. Sounds like only three, but not two. Right? It's the same deal. Shani Asim, the Kovali B'chayva, Mikara. No, there it's different because three has an obligation. Once you have an obligation, you can't divide. And the Rai was a little bit deeper because if it's three people and one of them wants to go, let him go. If two people are allowed to do Zimun, why can't let the one go? And according to the Mandiyam, who says two is okay, we still have a Zimun. The answer is no, because when you have an obligation to do Zimun, that's a higher level than an optional Zimun. And you can't go from an obligational Zimun to an optional Zimun. It's not, you're lowering the power of the Kedusha involved in that Zimun, and therefore the answer is that's why you can't leave. Because even though maybe, yes, you could have done it with two, it's a different type of Zimun. Doesn't have pack the same punch. Look at Rashi. Einu shol l'chalik l'vara k'lech l'yatzmo. The Mafkul Torah Zimun. He says, you're not allowed to do separate and make and each have each one bench for himself because you are letting the Zimun go. And you're throwing it out the window. You can't just throw a mitzvah out the window. It doesn't work. So Shloshi in Shnayim Loi. Hachi Prusho. This is the pshat of that diuk, which we just learned. The Minik Tani Emer Shoyin L'chalek, since the Brisa says you're not allowed to break up, Shema Mino, the Shloshi Mezam, Shnayim Emezam. Must be that three, yes. And two don't need it all together. I feel a rutzu, even if they want to. Why? The Amr Shnayim Nami Because if it was true that if two people wanted to do Zimun in Ratzu Mizamna, if they wanted, they could. Amayin Echad Rishoy L'Chalik. Why can't he go? Lazel who? Let him just leave. L'mafkes Brach of Zimun. You're not going to negate the Brach of Zimun, Bachi. Okay, because you still have two. Vizamnu Ishtayim. Let the two do the Zimun. Since we don't let you break up, does not mean that we don't let you do Zimun with two. And that's why you can't break up, because once you don't have three anymore, you're done. He says, no, you're not done. But there's still a difference. Shani Hassam, it's still different over there. Why? Shani Hassam, the Kavu, Rashi, the Kavu Hukfu B'chayva Mikara, the Azul who, if he goes, Mafkasei Chayva, the obligation is going to leave, V'komu Leber Shus, and all that's going to be there is the option, V'godal Mitzvah Yosef, Misha Eina Mitzvah Yosef. Gavalag Yisayid, it's better to do a mitzvah when you are commanded than when you are not commanded. It's a fundamental principle in Jewish life. Greater is a person who does God's bidding when God demands that of you than when you just do it because you just want to.
So at weddings, it's kind of a hard thing because a lot of people are dancing and then you got to go and you're eating bread and you're by yourself.